Blog Talk Radio.
We had music. Woohoo! Let's hope it doesn't go on by itself again during the show. Well, welcome to the weekly podcast of Diva of Days of Our Lives. And I'm Anna, and we've got Carrie here.
Hello.
Hey, Carrie. And Marianne.
Hello.
Hello. So I'm not sure if anyone else is joining us tonight, but hey, we're going to have fun no matter what, right?
Amen.
Let's see. We've got the chat room fired up, and we've got our head hoochie, chat room hoochie in there. Ready to stir ready to do some chit stirring. And I think before we get started, I think Carrie probably wants to tell a little bit about what happened to her today. Or what she would have liked to have had happen to her if her husband wasn't around. Just joking. So, Carrie, would you like to start off the podcast with your little adventure today?
Yeah, so I found out this week, Brian Dottillo was going to be near my neck of the woods in Cranberry Township, Pennsylvania, which is a bit north of Pittsburgh. It's a very affluent suburb. And, so I decided to go down, and from what everybody said, it was supposed to be from 2 to 4. And so I texted one of my Dave's friends who lives around here. She used to be a former coworker of mine. She actually called in one of our interviews once. So I found out, Megan, you know, you're going to be there from 2 to 4, but she's never met any of the actors. And so she texted me back. She said, no, it says online 4 to 6. I'm like, what? I said, and I was at the hairdresser's with my sons. They were getting haircuts. I couldn't do anything. I don't have a smartphone. I have a dumb phone, so I can't really surf online. And I said, go call the grocery store. But he was supposed to be at Giant Eagle, which is a major grocery store in this area, a big chain. So she called them. They said 4 to 6. Like, okay. So my husband and I were going down anyway, so we did a little shopping, and so we show up at Giant Eagle at 3:30, and as soon as we show up, I see this sign with Brian's picture on it, and it says 2 to 4, and I'm like, oh, crap.
And you were there early.
I was there, yeah.
Early.
I was there before it was over, yeah, technically. And yeah. I saw, though, where the time was, they actually taped over it with a piece of paper and wrote in 2 to 4. So I don't know what happened, who got their wires crossed, that some places, why, I don't understand why the store's not 4 to 6 when it's really 2 to 4. So I walked in, and basically, poor Brian in the produce section. And
he was there with the fruits? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing. Just joking.
You can ask him if we interview him this week. So I waited in line, and I talked to Brian, and we discussed doing the show, and he's going to call me, and hopefully we're going to try to get him either Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern or Wednesday 10 p.m. Eastern for a show, because next weekend he's going to be in Toronto, I think from Thursday to Sunday. So if somehow we can't squeeze it in this week, we'll try to get him maybe for next week, but we're hoping for Tuesday at 10 p.m., so keep an eye on the blog and on Blog Talk Radio for on Monday sometimes. As soon as he gives me the go-ahead, I'm going to schedule it and promote it. And so, so he was wonderful. He was in good spirits. And actually, the second time I met him, he looked great and very nice and friendly. So if you guys get to meet Brian at some of these fan events, yeah, there's nothing to be nervous about. He's really nice, real friendly guy. And I have the stuff on the blog. I took a picture with him. He looks great. I look like hell. Just a bad picture.
I
wish I would have known that. Yeah. I look like I'm flashing. I don't know why. I mean, Brian's not that much taller than me. I mean, to be honest, he's not.
He's,
no. And I was
I think you're taller than him, actually.
No, I'm 5'5". I think he's 5'8", maybe. Yeah,
okay.
I'm 5'8".
Forget
yeah.
Okay.
No, I didn't have heels. That's the thing. I was
you
wearing did. Sneakers. No.
Yeah.
It's, I knew in advance that when we met him in Burlington not to wear heels. Besides, you know, it's Saturday in Pittsburgh. No one's wearing high heels. I mean, we're not that high maintenance,
no.
You know. And he signed my T-shirt. My T-shirt has written on it our motto, which is well-behaved women rarely make history. And Teo signed it a couple years ago. He wrote, said Teo at the end of it, and Brian wrote on it. He wrote Brian DeTello Lucas. Something like, I love well-behaved women. They're my fave or something like that. So I actually couldn't read it when he wrote it, but when I got home, I looked at it, and he signed a picture for me. He had pictures there, and after I left, there was starting to get to be a bigger of a line because I think a lot of people were expecting it to be a 4-6. And
yeah,
oh, gee.
Yeah, I think someone dropped the
maybe
ball.
Maybe he stayed a little longer, maybe.
I'm hoping, you know.
Yeah.
But because I was expecting to come early because I remember in Burlington, Mary and I were just talking about this a few minutes ago. He had a humongous line. And Burlington, so at the juvenile diabetes event, and I actually didn't get to meet him in the line because they, at the end of the time, they cut us off, and I was nowhere near getting anywhere near him. So I was anticipating this humongous line, but that's why I came early, but I didn't realize that, you know, I guess I was actually kind of semi-late. So I kind of feel bad. And I don't get the Pittsburgh papers. I really don't look at the Pittsburgh news that much. So I don't know if it was publicized at all. Yeah, I don't know if press were there early. I didn't see any press there. So
somebody had miscommunication somewhere along the line, it sounds like.
Yeah,
and I even contacted Dave Pelosi.
They were probably wondering
about the
where
event.
Everyone was.
Yeah. Yeah, I contacted Dave Pelosi before the event and say, hey, I'm going. Could you give me more information? They never emailed me back, so that didn't help either. They would have told me 2 to 4. I probably would have gotten there before. I probably would have gotten there 1:30, to be honest. So, but anyway, so hopefully I gave Brian my number. He said he's going to call me. And actually, Brian and I know a lot of people in common, so that helps too. So,
Definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So hopefully he'll call me on Monday and we'll get everything scheduled. And for people who've never been to our interviews before, you can call in and ask Brian a question. So we will restrict it to one question, though, because we are anticipating a lot of people. So, and we don't know how much time Brian has. I'm going to say an hour. But so, you know, keep it pithy and don't be shy and call in. And if you can't listen to the show over your computer, you could call in and say you don't want to ask questions. We'll be screening calls. Actually, I'll be screening, and Anna's going to be hosting. And you can just say, hey, I'm just going to listen, and I'll put you in as a listener. So if you're out somewhere, you just want to call in and see what's going on, you can do that too. And if you can't join the show live, remember you can download the show. The show is available on iTunes. You can actually within couple minutes of the show ending, you can actually come back to our show page and hit play. It's archived almost immediately. It doesn't take very long, usually less than 10 minutes. So you can't make it live. We have our very first show like 2.5 years ago is still on here. So, I mean, these interviews last forever. They're not going anywhere. Unless the website completely crashes and everything gets deleted, gets fully away. Yeah, it's probably just jinxed everybody. But that's never happened.
Yeah, let it go.
Yeah, so, yeah. So that's something to look forward to. We're anticipating it's going to be a wonderful interview, a lot of fun. So, yeah, keep your schedules free Tuesday, Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern.
definitely.
Sounds good.
We've been wanting to talk to Ian for a long, I mean, Brian, for a long time.
Somebody has Ian on the mind, don't he?
That's a non-sequitur.
I was staring at a picture of Ian at the time when I said that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he's
I'm just
next.
Slightly. Yes, yes. He's next on the list.
We've got to go after him.
We have a hoochie list and we're checking it twice. And we only want the ones that are naughty, not nice. But anyway.
Yeah, the naughty ones, bad ones.
The naughty ones, yes.
Yeah.
Oh. So, well, since we're talking about Brian, we had some good Brian scenes this week, some good Lucas scenes this week on the show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Either of you care to take that with Will and EJ
Lucas?
and EJ.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
I enjoyed that. The sleeping with the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was very cute with Will, you know. I said, Will and EJ, William. I like that when he said sleeping with the enemy. It's like, oh, yeah, I guess Will would really love that. And I love when EJ came. It was so funny when EJ comes and he sticks his arm around Will and Will looks up at him with his little smile on his face. I'm there, oh, okay. But, yeah, that was good. That was good. And Will stood up to Lucas and... So I don't know what EJ kind of like let him go. He said he could go. He could have, you don't have to work for me.
Which
you can have the car.
Yeah.
Like he was going to let Will out of that. He says, I'm not going to tell them, the authorities, that you were the one that shot me. You can go, even keep the car and all that. And then Will surprisingly said, no, I'm going to stay and work for you. So I thought that was.
I learned that
different.
From Lost. Because I heard Ben say this about John Locke.
Mm-hmm.
About pretending you're giving someone a choice, but you're really not. That's
mm-hmm.
kind of what EJ gave Will. Well, you made your choice, Will, but really it wasn't much
mm-hmm.
of a choice.
Yeah, right.
And then EJ gave him brandy afterwards, so that was really special. We all know what Will does when he gets drunk. He starts kicking.
Right,
him.
Right. Yes.
And,
oh yeah.
And there's
sleeping with the enemy.
Yes.
Yeah.
They will go with the Will and EJ pairing because there's so much chemistry between the two of them. So.
Oh, I know Will got a big smile on his face when he looked at EJ, put his arm around him. They're like, ooh, okay. That's cute.
It's true love.
Oh, you guys are bad.
Send your hate tweets to at Diva Abdul. Go for it.
Hey,
oh, gosh. The jammies,
of,
the jammies will be
chemistry.
After us. Oh, my gosh.
Or Annie Jolie.
And what?
Annie Jolie, too.
But the
Annie Jolie.
But the E-Jills will be thrilled.
Yes.
Or the Wedge. Will it be a Wedge?
The Loomies will be happy.
Yeah, no threat to them if E-Jills are occupied. No, but there again, they had, it was just kind of, it was similar to the scenes. With, I thought the dynamic was similar to the scenes with Marlena, Sammy, and Will, with Will
mm-hmm.
in the middle. I mean, they're doing some great scenes like that. The dialogue is just, so with EJ, Will again in the middle, you've got EJ acting indifferent, pointing the other direction. And I love, who else laughed every time EJ said, thanks again, Will?
Yeah, that was funny.
Thank you, William. Thank you, William.
William.
Thank
you again,
William.
He uses like Stefano. He uses your proper, your full name.
Mm-hmm.
And the dynamic with, Lucas coming in and seeing. And, I loved how they mentioned, Lucas mentioned him working for Tony.
Tony.
At the point, which we now know was Andre, but,
right.
But
Echelon.
But, he had mentioned that.
And Kate was
upset
with that, I remember.
And Sad wasn't watching. I took a break for days for a while, so I didn't see those.
Another Tony mention.
Back then. Mm-hmm. Another Tony mention, and I thought it was really cool. That's one thing I really love about the fact that these writers do know a lot of the day's history, because for everyone who complains about the writers never using history. You know, and that's true. They, you know, the Days writers in the past have done that, and I'm sure even the current ones have been guilty of that a time or two. But I love how they really have reached back into history for – they've just really made it more character-driven as far as the motivation. It's not – Lucas isn't mad. Lucas isn't concerned about Will because it's part of the plot. He's worried about him because he made the same mistake. He got lulled into, you know, he got pulled into the lure of the Dimera world and at one time, and he realized how destructive it was, theoretically, you know. Of course, we love the Dimera world, but they're using, you know, they're using history for these things instead of just putting stuff out there and having the characters do them. So I'm really enjoying that. And that kid is a great actor.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. He holds his own with all the good actors,
yes.
You know, with
yes.
Scott and Allie and Lou, you know, yeah.
And you know, yeah. Brian,
which is a sign of a
like
good
he's...
actor, and he's turning out to be a very excellent actor, I think.
Yes, and the other nice mm-hmm. thing is I'm enjoying Brian's return for several reasons, but mm-hmm. a couple things that I've noticed is that on the one hand, he hasn't missed a beat. You know, it's like he's just like he's back. It's
he's
like
Luke.
He was never, in a
yeah.
way, it was like he was never gone. Yet it's still kind of fresh, in a way. It's still
fresh.
Like,
mm-hmm. yeah.
I think one of the things is that Lucas is more centered right now than he was before he left.
Right.
You know, he had been emasculated by the writers and, like, pretty much kicked to the curb
right.
and, they pretty much did a Chloe on him. I mean,
room
well,
under
Chloe,
the bus. And, yeah.
Chloe did a Chloe on him too. But that's another story.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, but they pretty much took him down to the ground and you know and ground him into it. And so now that he's come back, it's like he's got an edge to him. He's a little fresher. He's more secure. You could tell with the scenes with Sammy a week or two ago where. They were, you know, just being so, you know, being honest with each other and admitting their faults and, you know, him, you know, talking about his alcoholism and, you know, saying, you know, I really was running from things and stuff like that. You know, so it was really cool that way that, you know, that I don't know, there's just something really refreshing about Lucas. Of course, I love him anyway, but... And then the play.
He was just shining on screen.
I love the play between EJ and Lucas, too, between James
oh,
and
yeah.
Brian. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
that used to be a joke between them two, put those two together, EJ and Lucas.
Yeah.
Back
yeah,
in the day, that used to be.
Remember, he had to do mouth to mouth one time.
Yeah, that's where we all
in
started.
In the sauna.
Yeah, in the sauna, yeah.
And what were they called? Ejukas.
Yeah.
Ejukas.
I
saw someone tweet that they were so glad to see snarky EJ back, and I really
yes.
think he and
yes.
Brian play off of that well. Brian
mm-hmm.
was playing the straight man, no pun intended. I mean, he was playing the, you know, the dad, the concerned dad and everything, but it,
mm-hmm.
it gave, you could tell there was just a really fresh dynamic between the three of them. I really, really enjoyed it. I could have watched that all day. I was really in
mm-hmm.
heaven just watching it. So,
yeah. It was nice to see Lucas and EJ interacting again. You know.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, mm-hmm. yes, definitely. I hope we see more of that, for sure. And then let's see. So, I'm trying to see, Sammy was out of town most of the week, right?
Yeah,
she
came
back to like
Friday.
Mm-hmm. So,
and then Kate
and
put
I think,
her to work.
Yeah. So, you know, for those who may not have been following along, she basically Ian let Kate know that Sammy was the mole, that that Madison had set that up with Sammy and everything. So now Kate's making her squirm. I love it. It's so fun because there for a while Sammy was having a blast putting the screws to Kate, and now Kate's doing everything she can. In fact, she and Billy took the kids out for dinner
mm-hmm.
while Sammy worked late,
mm-hmm.
and she her sole job, aside from her travels for the job, is supposed to be finding who this mole is, which, of course, Kate knows is Sammy, Mm-hmm. And, oh, no, Sammy, I don't want the IT department involved. They could be one of the moles. They could be the mole. You know, I only trust you. And I just love watching her squirm.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fun. It is so fun. And I love
the way
Lauren's
playing it. She has to know she's
onto
her. You know, you think. You know, she has to
know. You
know,
I love the way Lauren's playing it, too. It's really funny. I don't know. And then, oh, and there was a scene. I tweeted about this week. There was a scene where she's like, Kate, I haven't even eaten dinner yet because she's been traveling. You know, Sammy had been traveling all day and she wanted to go home and see the kids. She's like, no, Sammy, I need you to, you know, I want a full report on your travels, you know, for tomorrow morning. And I want you to, you know, start working on this mole thing and everything. And so, and Sammy's like, Kate, I haven't even had a chance to get anything to eat today or whatever. And she says, oh, well, that's what vending machines are for. Plenty of, all that caffeine and sugar, you know, keep you awake or whatever. And she says, so go grab a ho-ho or something like that. Go grab a ho-ho or something.
Ho-ho.
A vending machine,
yeah,
ho-ho. And the look on Sammy's face when she did it, I tweeted something about, you know, Kate suggesting Sammy get a ho-ho out of the vending machine. And Sammy's reaction, the biggest loser reaction, like the biggest loser disdain was priceless because it was like you could tell for a second it wasn't just Sammy, it was, you know, the girl from The Biggest Loser that was like, oh my God, a ho-ho, are you kidding me? It was just the funniest little exchange, loved it. So that was fun. So they're always fun. And then Billy, of course, coming in and taking over Sammy's desk and like, okay, so and she's like, do I still have a job?
That was funny. So do I still have a job?
Oh,
not for long.
Those are a lot of fun. And the ho-ho thing too, of all, she could have said Snickers, she could have said anything, but she said ho-ho.
Yeah,
and I'm
ho-ho.
Like, I know we Hoochies enjoyed that little
yeah,
shout out.
Ho-ho.
But anyway.
Uh-huh.
But yeah. it was cute. I'm sure that they had a lot of fun with those scenes. So there's that. So Sammy was out of town most of the week, and then let's see. What else? Carrie, you wanna take the whole Austin Looney Abbey
Psycho Abbey
stuff?
Well,
Carrie Rafe.
Well, before I forget, Bob Hafka is on Twitter, so we need to pimp at Bob Hafka.
Oh yes,
yes.
At Bob Hafka. Yes, most definitely. Oh yeah, that app sign, and then what is it, B-O-B, is that right? Is that Bob?
Yes.
Yeah, Bob, and then Hapka, is H-A-P-K-A.
What?
Yeah. K-A. K-A, yeah, I think that's what it is. I think it's at Bob Hapka, I think so. And then there's Amy, A-M-Y, Hapka, yeah, as well.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Carrie, for reminding us of that. That's
sure.
Very important. We got so excited about Brian, we momentarily missed that, so I'm glad
you
caught that.
Sorry, Bob, you know.
Yeah. You know, we do have our priorities. Usually it's about Bob, but sometimes, you know, other things happen, you know, we report the news, you know, as it occurs. Speaking of which, I saw that Mark Hapka, is at Mark Hapka, he's going to be in another movie, I think.
Yes.
I wish I knew off the top of my head. I can't remember the name.
Something with number 23. I can't remember.
Oh, 23 something. Yeah.
Yeah. It's on the blog.
Go check at the Diva Duel blog, guys, because Mark Hapka is going to be in another film. And so I think he plays a blind athlete or something, blind football player or something, or blind something.
He's a quarterback on the football team. In his senior year, he starts losing his eyesight. And there's a lot of big actors in this movie. Like, I think Justin Long's in there. So there's some decent actors in this movie. So,
including Mark Hapka, of course.
Right? Mark's great, too. Yeah.
Yeah,
so.
He is. He is. Really enjoyed him. I miss him on this, but yeah. So, congratulations to him. Sounds like he's doing well with his film career. And he had a short film out not too long ago. It was pretty intense. So I watched it. I'm like, ooh, that's deep. it was really good. I liked the effects and everything on that, so that was cool. So yeah, so the Hapkas seem to be doing very well.
Yeah.
And let's see. So also shout out to Sarah. She's doing a musical tonight, I believe. Urinetown, something Urinetown. So break a leg, Sarah. And she also wanted me to mention Magic, but they weren't on much this week. Were they on at all? I'm trying to think.
Yes, they were on.
Quite a bit.
They were on.
They were on.
In reference to Bo. That's right. So
Bo.
We can talk about them for a second, real quick. They were on, and it was sad because, like, Maggie felt so bad. She felt so bad for Victor and seeing him worry over her son. And then when she saw Daniel, she said, I have to admit, I feel bad because I start thinking about what if that were you and everything. So, so, you know, those were poignant scenes. Somebody did tweet that she was wearing her Shirley Temple outfit. I think that might have been.
Not Shirley Temple, Shirley Partridge.
Shirley Partridge, I'm sorry.
It did look like it.
The aforementioned Bob Smartass.
I think it was Bob
Hapton
that said that.
It was Bob.
He was right. She did look very nice.
She did look rather
Shirley Partridge. I mean, I have to admit.
She did.
He was right on with that.
The color and everything, the maroon with the white ruffle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting her to leave and get into a multicolored bus. But anyway. No, but always lovely to see Maggie, though. And then, they were at the Common Grounds opening
later. Is that what
later.
It's called? Okay, I couldn't remember. Common Grounds.
At least that's the last I checked. I think that was what it was.
Yeah, Sunny
and
Chad.
Which is great. It's a great contest. It's to be open to everyone. Of course, I was thinking the Brady Pub pretty much was. I mean, even Stefano goes there, so I don't know. But they had to have an angle for it. So anyway, it looks very nice. They did a lot of nice. It's the old Cheating Heart set, so they've remade it into a coffee house.
Popped on a little bit.
Yes, it was very nice to see Justin.
Yeah, good to see them.
Always lovely to see them. Wish we could see more of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Victor and Maggie went over, although Victor understandably was worried about Bo. And Sonny was there, of course. And then it was revealed that Ian McAllister, the evil Ian McAllister, is the silent but not so silent now investor that Sonny found. Or I'm sure Ian found him, more likely. But I thought my cat was doing something. She said, "What's doing?" Sorry.
Is she in the wire? Watch out now.
Yeah. We don't want the power to go out right now. So they did the opening, and we find out that Ian is the investor, the big investor that Sonny found. Chad momentarily thought it was Stefano, and he got mad at Sonny, and then they worked it all out.
Blah blah blah.
Blah blah blah.
Same
blah
old
blah
thing.
Blah. Yeah. So I guess there will be a lot more coffee being consumed at Common Grounds and less at the Brady Pub, maybe? I don't know. So always nice to see Kayla. She's holding down the fort at the Brady Pub. So she's been hugging people lately. I think she's a little lonely. So maybe we need to get
Did she forget how to be a doctor or what? She's not a doctor anymore? No.
Well, she kind of temporarily saved Bo's life until
she went into doctor mode.
She must be feeling in for Peggy McKay. You know, I don't know. I don't know why Peggy hasn't been on, but she must be filling in for that role, you know, as her character, Kayla, but, you know, kind of filling in.
Well, Carolyn's watching the kids. She's up.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There's
she's
with the kids
busy
all the time.
But she's
right.
Sammy
she's
knows. Kids are
going to
be with Sammy.
Soon.
Yeah.
She's going to be on soon, though. I think this week.
Wow.
Yes, Caroline's back.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah.
Well, we always love seeing Mary Beth Evans, always. But, yeah, I've been a little worried about Grandma Caroline. Maybe she just got tired of all that babysitting. It's kind of sad that even Kate and Billy know to go to the pub to get the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're always at the pub.
Yeah, so they went to the pub to get the kids to have dinner with them and everything and tuck them in while Sammy was working late at the office. I love that whole twist. That was funny. So back to Abby, Psycho Abby, and Melanie and Carrie Austin.
Why doesn't Melanie just tell Austin and Carrie?
Maybe that's what eventually happens.
Come on, Melanie, you know Abby's not going to tell.
It's not stupid.
Come on. Yeah. Oh, you have to tell them, Abby. You have to tell them. Yeah, like she's going to. She did all this lying. What makes Melanie think that Abby's going to be truthful now?
Yeah.
We got to back up for a second because what happened this week is all this time Melanie thought that Abby really did sleep with Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was doing her little psycho Abby routine with Melanie this week and accidentally slipped and said, "When Austin and I make love for the first time, it's going to be amazing," or something. And Melanie's like, "Roll tape. Wait a minute. Let's see. Can we rewind here?" Let's go. And she called her on it, and Abby was like, "Yeah, well, he thought that we did." So Melanie was like, "You've got to tell Carrie and Austin that you've got to tell them. So Carrie, did you want to take the rest of this story, or do you want to kind of take it forward?
Well, Patrick Muldoon, we found out this week, likes getting slapped in the face hard.
Ah.
Yes. Mm. Because both girls slapped him, and he told them to. So those are real slaps, and you could tell by the sound and the look on his face, those are real slaps. So, I can't remember what all happened this week. I mean, I watched every episode, but Abby said that they slept together, and Austin confirmed it, and he did have Carrie convinced that it was nothing and it was just one time. And did she know about the sex part first before she started to reconcile back with him? I can't remember how that went.
No, she didn't know at that point last week.
Yes.
When they were was that the beginning of this week, I guess? I don't know, yeah. I was actually proud of Dave's because he didn't go to the automatic, "Oh, I'm packing my bags and I'm leaving." They actually started to reconcile.
Yeah,
they did.
He was trying to tell her, this is just this young girl who does not know that I didn't realize I was leading her on, blah, 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 blah. Which all of that was pretty true, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie was like, "Okay, you know, let's try to work on this," kind of thing. And then Abby broke into the room again and started mouthing off and saying that they had made love. And then Carrie was, of course, crushed. And that kind of was the deal breaker. So, yeah. So to answer your question, that's what happened there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so then Carrie took off, and then I don't know how this happened, though, because Melanie said they took off in separate cars, which is weird since they showed up in one. She said that she drove off, and then Austin followed her in his car, which is kind of weird since they drove up together. But she just skied back down to Salem.
Sorry.
Even though it's probably, you know, if it's like Salem is like around here, it's probably about 70 degrees right now in Salem. And so she went back to her office, and she's crying, and she declares her true love for Rafe, which I don't think anybody's buying that at all. And I'm just not buying it. I mean, she's trying to sell it. I'm not buying. And then Austin overhears that, and while Carrie was asking Rafe if he felt the same. And it was a really touching scene, this part, because Patrick Muldoon was starting to tear up, and Christy Clark was crying.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, Patrick did a great job, I thought.
He really made
me feel bad for Austin,
Because it'd be so, if someone else was playing the character, wasn't playing it with such sadness, you would think, you would laugh at it. I mean, in the beginning it was kind of funny, but when you see the real fallout of this marriage, I mean, you could tell the guy's just devastated. And it's like, oh, I still love you, and I still want to work it out, and blah, blah, blah. And then Austin leaves, and then Rafe said that he has feelings towards her. I don't think he used the L word. And then, but then later on the episode, he tells her they need to work on their marriages. And it wouldn't work
Rafe
out between them.
Rafe said that he loved Carrie, though, right? That he had feelings for her, but he didn't say that I love her, love you, did
no.
he?
Yeah.
Like Carrie said to him.
I don't
think
so.
I don't
think
he did.
He's just going to use her for sex. Then,
seriously.
I'm just kidding.
For real. They really belong together, actually, but whatever. But no, I still like Carrie and Austin.
He's going to do a little bit of blue jean modeling for her, which is code, of course. And then she's going to be like, maybe I should, like, prepare some briefs, which is also code,
mm-hmm.
being attorney. You know, it's also code. And then suddenly they're going to realize that Looney Abby really didn't sleep with Austin, and that's going to make it a little bit better. But by then, she will probably have already done the deed with Rafe and screwed up her marriage and her sister's marriage even more. So that's my guess. I don't know. What do you think? Do you guys think Rafe will actually do it? Do we care?
well, I saw – okay, this is spoilers. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear it. I saw that Rafe does get mad and tell Sammy to get an attorney. So
she calls it Carrie?
No,
I see this coming. He says, get an attorney. I know I'm getting one.
mm-hmm.
That's good.
So, and so then Austin shows up at Horton Town Square, and he overhears – Melanie telling Abby that you have to tell Austin and Carrie, you know, that they really didn't sleep together. And Austin's like, tell me what? And then Abby just later on just says, Melanie takes off, so she's not there to see it. But Abby said, oh, then you were just really, really drunk. And he's like, yeah, I told her that. And then Austin tells her that Carrie loves Rafe. And then she starts going cuckoo again and wants Austin. He's like, Rafe and Carrie and you and I are totally two different things. Just, you know, basically said, does Carrie going to be with Rafe? Doesn't mean that Austin's going to be with Abby. He basically said, it's no way in hell it's not going to happen. And he leaves. Because she's still in cuckoo land. So,
is she going to play the pregnant card?
No, actually, the truth comes out really quickly this month.
Really does?
Oh.
Okay, good. They're going to drag that on. I thought they were going to drag this.
Oh, okay.
No,
okay.
Actually.
Melanie knows, so.
Yeah, actually, Jack and Jen find out about it, and Jack takes off after Austin, so Abby confesses that she sees basically her dad's going to kill Austin. So it comes out real quickly within a couple weeks.
Oh,
I was wondering when Jack and Jennifer were going to get involved or somebody was going to tell them.
Yeah, a lot of people were speculating that Jack was going to go nuts and kill Austin. That was kind of the rumor.
Post-traumatic stress disorder on him?
Yeah, because there was those rumors about
Mm-hmm. Yes, and apparently Austin's not getting killed off, you know.
No.
So, so that's pretty much what happened.
Well, you know, Scary Sherry on Twitter made the observation, was talking the other day about how it would be kind of cool if they played on Laura Horton's mental illness, the history of that with Abby.
Right.
Because, you know, they say it skips a generation a lot of times, and, you know, that would be a really cool thing. Not cool that somebody's mentally ill, but you know, we're talking characters here, not real people. But that would be a really cool story for Kate Mancey because she's really done a great job with this. She's found that right balance of being a complete loon without acting like a caricature of a loon. You know, she's really done a good job of finding that, I think. So it would be really interesting, and she's about the age that, you know, that type of mental schizophrenia or some sort of mental illness would be emerging. So if the writers really wanted to go there, it would be another shout out to history and could pull Marlene in and other people, but Jennifer and Jack would have to be involved with that, of course. And so I just think it could turn into a really positive story about her getting help and her being being able to manage it, but at the same time it would lead to a lot of dramatic
stuff, you know. Oh, and Jennifer in the chat room said that Joe Johnson had mental illness too. I'd forgotten about
mm-hmm.
that. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that does tend to hit at college age. It's the late teens, early 20s.
Right.
Usually when
so
stuff like that starts
that would
to hit.
Really
yeah.
be like a really cool thing if they went there, because I think it would help a lot of people. It would be educational and at the same time full of, you know, a lot of drama and a lot of angles for people to, you know, play off of. So if they wanted to go that route, I think it would be pretty cool if they did. I don't know what their plans are with that, but
mm-hmm.
That's kind of an idea there. But I'm surprised they're not dragging that out longer. I hope she doesn't
mm-hmm.
just go back to being a normal
person,
they would. Though, right away. Because that seems like that would be like to go to that extreme and then just go back to being normal Abby. That would be kind of weird. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So just hope to see how that goes. So let's see.
I wonder how that's going to work out, though. Would Carrie go back to Austin then, though? If she loves Rafe, then does it really matter
yeah.
if Austin really didn't cheat on her?
Yeah, the fact
really,
that she... I was surprised that mm-hmm. she admitted that she loved him like that. And
mm-hmm.
what does Rafe keep doing
that's
going back
work,
to that damn
you know?
Office? Because he's been packing that office for 3 weeks now, carrying the same box around. Did he finally move out? I mean, did he finally get his shit together, per se? And leave. I mean, because
it sounds
like
Rafe still wants to try to work it out with Sammy more so than
yeah.
Carrie wants to work it out with
right.
Austin.
So
mm-hmm.
is Carrie going to be psycho Carrie on Rafe? Because I'm sort of sensing that I'm sort of getting the sense of all the women in Salem are psycho. I'm getting a little bit
yeah,
of sexism
yeah,
going
that,
now.
That was a,
because
we
Gabby
were
tweeting
is out,
doing
yeah.
Gabby's doing some nutso stuff with Chad and. I'm kind of going, you know, we need a couple of psycho guys to balance this thing out, or it's going to get really awkward soon. But, you know, everybody in every woman in town is, like, crazy for a man. And, like, and that's the thing that's always so funny. It's, like, everyone in Salem's, like, beautiful and, like, has it all going on. You know, why they
yeah.
need to work so hard is beyond
mm-hmm.
me. But, you know, it's just kind of funny how, I mean, somebody like Gabby, she's a gorgeous girl, she's sweet, she's smart. I mean, why does she have to work? What? I mean, I know that's part of the story, but I just think, you know, I hate to see, like, people going psycho all the time just for the sake of, you know, a guy or whatever. But I guess she's going to provide the angst for Melanie and Chad. But I don't know. I kind of like the way they sort of like, okay, well, I guess you're done with dinner. Okay, well, let's go. You know, I love that. She's just kind of, okay, fine. So, I don't know. Maybe Gabby will go all schizo. Maybe we'll have several schizo girls going on around town, and then something else will emerge, and we won't know, like, who's doing what. I don't know.
Oh, there's a casting call that went out today. They are actually, this was in Soap Opera Digest this week. They are actually chem testing characters with Camilla Bannis. I can't remember how to pronounce last name.
Oh.
Who plays Gabby. So they are testing people
okay.
for Gabby. Yeah.
Okay. Because she is sweet. I mean, I hate it when she's had so few opportunities to have really meaty stuff. Like when Will had his meltdown, those scenes were really good, you know? She showed that she's talented. It's just
mm-hmm.
she always kind of gets the mousy stuff, you know? And so I really hope they give her something a little more meaty if they're going to, you know, keep her around, because she is a sweet girl. I've met her in person. She's very nice, at least from what I've seen. And
mm-hmm.
She's a beautiful girl. She has a lot of talent. And, you know, I just want them to give her something, you know, more, you know. So if they're going to keep, you know, if she's going to be in Salem, I hope that she gets some good material.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting, though. So, well, wasn't there a rumor, too, that Abby was going to go after Lexi's brother who comes to town? Was that another rumor?
That, yeah, that should be for Abby.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that was
no,
Abby,
yeah,
but it's definitely Abby.
Yeah. Going back to Abby, yeah. So maybe that's where they're headed for that story, maybe. I don't know.
Mm.
So, and then we have Ian. Ian and Madison, who, I, you know, obviously I don't like Madison, the character,
no.
At all. And let's see. So, Marianne What? Let's see. With Brady, what went on with Brady this week? We got Brady.
Oh,
was he shirtless?
Brady. Let's see. Brady. Just poor Brady. I they've got to find a woman for that man. It's like,
yeah.
I know.
A decent woman for that. You know. I like him with Nicole, but I just found it odd. I don't know if you noticed the. Madison was looking at her diamond ring, and it was in a little in a box. And I thought she had given it back to Brady at that point. Okay,
I thought
that she gave it back to Brady, and she's looking at it. Okay, she was looking at it in this box. Then the next day, Brady had it. Then Brady had it, and like had it in his beer. And I'm there. The continuity just didn't, because I had thought she had already given it to him. They said, okay, well, she has it back. Well, then all of a sudden, Brady had it. It just didn't make any sense. But anyway, it was nice to see Melanie come in and talk to Brady.
Yeah, we had Brady and Daniel scenes. That was good. I like Daniel basically said, get over her, move on. But she's so jaded.
Oh, Daniel then came and talked to him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those yeah, like good. He did. Like he learned with Jennifer, and Chloe,
right.
I guess. He
and
was
then Brady's like, yeah, you really moved on. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was nice to see Melanie come in and, talk to Brady.
I know, I was so glad they did it.
It didn't
last long enough because then he wanted to be alone. But it really reminded me how cute those two are together. They are so cute together.
Yeah.
I love them. I mean, not as romantic, but as a brother-sister thing, I just love them together. And I'm glad they put them back in a scene together.
And Brady's still not buying it with Madison. He thinks there's still something.
Yeah.
Like there's something
yeah.
Funny,
which there is.
I don't know why he hasn't figured it out yet, but,
What cracked me up this week was when I was tweeting, and my friend, I'm at Nicole78, was cracking me up because she said something like, oh, he showed me what love is. It reminded both of us of I Want to Know What Love Is by Foreigner.
I want, I'm singing that song.
I was tweeting lyrics to Nicole. It was because we just both had the same thought at the same time about Foreigner. So that was pretty much the theme for that whole, I guess that was Thursday. From Thursday episode, but it did seem like a Foreigner song, a really, really, really bad one.
So Anna, what's Ian's angle with Madison? Does he just want her for control? Does he really love her?
I sense some sort of turn with him and her this week. On Friday's episode, he goes over and he's done this whole wine and dine thing, and she pulls the tablecloth out from under it and basically messes it up. And for whatever reason, I mean, he knows how much she loves Brady, and I guess he's just trying to torque her, I don't know, or pork her, or whatever he might want to do. I don't know. But, I mean, fortunately, there hasn't been any romantic, they're married, but fortunately, he hasn't, forced anything with her, and she's not asking for it. I would be. If I were her, I'd be asking for it. I'd be asking for it a lot, but that's just me. I'm a hoochie, what can I say? But I'd be like, why do you keep leaving, Ian? Why don't you stay? But, that's just me. But fortunately, he's saving it for someone else, I think. So she basically spoiled the party he had planned. the little intimate party he had planned. So, but I sensed with this Friday's episode that he really, personally, I don't really care for the character Madison, as you guys know. I'm not a fan, but of the character. But there was some softening with him. He, at least I saw that he really, her saying, why is it that you want? I don't remember her exact words, but it was like, what is it that you want out of me? What? Why do you just get your jollies? Be mean? I'm in love with this other person, And they talked about the history of their marriage. And, so it's very clear he found her at a very early age. Mm-hmm. He saved her from whatever. And everything she has is, she owes to him giving her, the opportunities and everything. But he made the point, which is what I've been saying all along, is you know, she used to be this very self-assured businesswoman and everything, and she's just a pile of mush since she went to Salem because of Brady. And that's what I've always said, because when they first were writing the character, she was supposed to be this, like, hell-on-wheels character. And honestly, all she's done is screw Brady since she got to town. So I don't even know how she makes money or how she, like, does she even show up to work other than to do Brady at the office? I mean, I don't know. But So fortunately, you know, he brought that, you know, he says, you know, where's the girl that I knew, you know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, she points out that, you know, she thought it was love, but then she sees him cheating on her, all, you know, the first woman and the second woman and third. I don't think she specifically brought up Kate in that conversation, but
right.
we know that's a very painful thing for her, because she knew that he and Kate had had a long affair and had been very much apparently in love with each other,
right.
Which I think we're going to see explored more fully coming up soon. So
woo-hoo.
I just sensed at the end of that episode, I sensed that, I don't know if Ian's going to cut her loose and let her have Brady, you know, or what, you know, what's going to happen there in that dynamic. But I think the Keehan fans are going to start seeing a little bit more scenes with them again, because it seems like it's been kind of dry for the last couple weeks. And we got all excited. I mean, they're kissing in the park and all this stuff, and then nothing for a week and a half to 2 weeks. So really hoping that things start turning around again for that pairing, because I think the potential pairing, I should say, because I think they're very interesting together. I definitely want to explore that history more fully. But I don't know. That's my take on it. What do you guys think?
I couldn't get that Foreigner, to tell you the truth. I mean,
what's that? Oh, you were worried about Foreigner?
No.
Yes, I couldn't. That's all I could think about was Foreigner.
Yeah, any Brady and Madison scenes, it's like, that's like a fast forward for me, or when I watch it. But yeah.
Well, the only reason I was really watching it was to see what was going to happen with those two, because I want him out of Madison's orbit so that he can be in someone else's orbit. I'd rather.
I know that.
But
who are they
going to
hook Billy up with, do you think?
I don't know.
Daniel,
there's been some hints that Daniel and she are going to have some scenes. I don't know. And, you know, Nicole has been hiding out. We don't know what's going to happen with her.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, speaking of Brady, what's Brady going to do when he finds out she's pregnant again? I'm wondering if that's going to stir his loins at all.
I don't know. Or
was
Nicole go back
to
Brady? I don't know. I don't know how many times they can go back to each other. I don't know.
He went through all that horrible stuff with her before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't know. And I haven't really been reading straight up the spoilers. I've been hearing different things, and I hear, you know, have different, you know, things that I catch here and there, but I don't really go and, like, actually read all the spoilers. So I don't exactly know what they're doing with that either. But honestly, like you said, I wish Brady would find someone else. Nicole, find a way to. Because wouldn't, you know, that might be.
None of these hot guys have anybody. You know, EJ, Brady. Come on.
I also really miss Gray Brady. I want Gray Brady to come back.
Yeah.
Gray
Brady. He's drinking again. Yes.
I know. That's
a
good sign.
Yeah, but he's drinking again.
Well, and he threatened to kill Ian. So he said something about wanting to kill him. So maybe Gray Brady. Let's watch and see if he starts the 5 o'clock shadow look again, because that usually is an indicator of Gray Brady reemerging. But I saw some fans, speaking of Gray, thinking of EJ again, I saw some fans that were tweeting about how snarky EJ was back, and they were loving that. Let's hope he sticks around, because he's fun. Snarky EJ is fun. So maybe Brady, what's going to happen when Brady finds out that Nicole's pregnant? Now, I also heard that Race is going to find out soon that Nicole is pregnant. Is that
Heard that, too.
This week.
Mm-hmm.
It's this week. Yeah.
And honestly,
and
the scenes that they had together, even they had a little bit of chemistry, you know?
Even before, like,
even when
in the
they
past.
Trying, even when they weren't trying, when they were commiserating with each other, like, over their idiot spouses.
It was a little bit more alive, I don't know, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he definitely needs someone to do it, and for whatever reason, Sammy just doesn't.
Doesn't, no.
But, let's see. So, okay, so what else?
Anna, you're going to love this. It's trending on Twitter. I'm sure it's a quizzes. It's hashtag because of Ken and Sam.
Wait, say that again. What?
Hashtag because of Ken and Sam. I have no idea who the and Sam part is, but I'm sure it's not your Ken.
No, yeah, but it's cool. A little fun.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to go on there.
There's a Ken in there.
I don't know.
That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. I'll have to check that out. Does anyone raise a hand? Does anyone even want to talk about John and Hope?
Oh, no.
Okay.
I forgot about that.
Can we pass on that part then? Do we really need to talk about them?
So how long is that story going to go on?
It gets
when Shane show up?
It's going
not
to get
while.
Dumber. Yeah. This is the spoilers. This is how dumb it gets. Stefano holds them prisoner. He wants them to steal the Anastasia egg for him.
Yes,
that's the last egg he does not have, like a Fabergé egg. They refuse to do it, and he attempts to hypnotize them.
He wants them to go back into their, the Princess Gina days when they were stealing the stuff for him.
Oh,
yes, and
he's still after that dang egg.
Yes, and he has a goon following Marlena around, and he's threatening to have Marlena get harmed if they don't do it.
If they don't do it. Stefano, though. Yeah, that does sound like the old Stefano.
The only juicy part this week that I did with them was that Billy is in town and she has this great meeting with her mom, Kate, and Austin and Lucas and everything. And then she hears about Bo's been, is half dead. So she goes to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And she has a very bland meeting, run-in with Daniel. But it was funny because she makes the comment about him being, you're Chelsea's mother. I guess you probably aren't a big fan of mine or something like that. And she's like, I don't remember her exact words. It was kind of like, no. But she says, save Bo's life and you'll start with a clean slate or you'll get a clean slate. And I'm like, oh, brother. But anyway. So Billy's in there. She's in Bo's room, and the one and only time that Hope managed to make it through because Stefano's controlling the airwaves of an Alamania.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it like with a foreign accent.
Any phone
Alamania.
Calls out of Alamania.
Alamania. Alamania. Alamania. Alamania.
Alamania.
Anyway.
Or Alamania.
Anyway, you slice it, it's boring. Anyway, so the one time Hope manages to get through to his room, because she hears that he's injured or whatever, half dead, Billy answers the phone, and she's like, oh, my God, he's dying, the phone and everything. So,
yeah.
Of course, that sends Hope into conniptions, but anyway. And then Kate and Billy had some good – oh, yes, Kate and Billy did have a good scene with each other out in the hallway in between worrying about Bo. They managed to get in the whole thing about, and Ian McAllister. Kate hasn't revealed yet Ian's a part of her past to Billy.
Right.
But Billy did acknowledge that, Ian is the new head of Titan and Mad World, he's over Mad World and da-da-da-da, kind of set that up. And, she threw in there that she had heard that Ian was quite the womanizer, and Kate's like trying to choke on her own saliva there. obviously he was having an affair with her at one point. So so Billy doesn't know about that history yet, but they did talk about it. And there was a rather revelatory conversation in there about Stefano, because Billy said something to the effect of she didn't really understand Stefano and Kate together, but they seem to get along. She seems to be happy. And essentially, I mean, for Estate fans, you know, it was definitely a conversation that both acknowledged the Stefano and Kate relationship, acknowledged it for what it is, which is they're very compatible, they're very comfortable, they get each other, they have, you know, all of that. But, you know, they kind of twisted it a little bit conveniently enough to where she basically came out and said she was comfortable. And we know that that comfort is the kiss of death for any soap relationship. So that was, to me, the death knell for the Stefano and Kate relationship. But at least they gave. But I was glad that they gave it a shout out and they talked about it. And I liked the way Kate was respectful. I mean, the writers were respectful of Stefano and Kate, but it was clear that the undertone of that whole conversation was that there was something lacking in their relationship, but she still had this greater love out there, i.e. Ian, so that she's not talking about right now to Billy, but Billy then mentioned, you know, that Ian was the head of Titan, CEO of Titan and all that, so it all tied in together to be, to me, a sign of things to come. So, any thoughts on that one?
I was a little upset as a State fan with Kate kind of downplaying her relationship with Steph. Now, that really bugged me because I thought they did love each other.
You know, they were playing it there for a while that they really did.
Right.
She did come to love him, and he did come to love her, and they were playing it so cute and so sweet.
Yes.
And all of a sudden he's going to turn on, or I don't know, it's probably going to go bad, is what it sounds like, or whatever.
I don't know. You know.
Or who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, like,
you know.
Well, you know, the thing that is goes. For me, for you know, from the perspective of a diehard State fan, they really haven't been writing for them for months. I mean, we've there for a while.
Well,
I mean, for like months.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had a phone call with them each, you know, a peck on the cheek here or there, but you know, it's obvious
their story
that
lines
the
are
writers.
Different now.
Yeah, the writers have put them in two different hemispheres, and, you know, and fortunately for me, I really enjoy Ian Buchanan, so I'm thrilled that Ian McAllister's in town. So I'm happy with that, but I'm glad they at least talked about the State relationship, because I love them together, but I kind of feel like the writers must have not known what to write for them next or whatever, because they really haven't written anything for a long time for them. So, because there for a while they had the whole Chad was, you know, she knew that Chad was his son and was trying to figure out how to handle that. And they've had these other challenges at different times. But it's like the last several months, really since the new writers came on board, they really haven't done much of anything with them. So, you know, I'm all for Kate having a new,
you know.
They have
to shake them up, too. No.
Yeah, I mean,
every couple
with any
is like,
soap, with any soap, if you're, even John
can't
and Marlena have their ups and downs, you know what I mean? And so however it turns out, I think I'm excited as a State fan and a Kian fan, and particularly a Kate fan, that I'm excited for there to be story, and I'm loving the Kate and Sammy stuff. I'm also loving the Kate and Ian and Stefano stuff, and so we'll just see where it goes. But as a soap fan, I couldn't ask for anything more. I mean, I'm just excited at their story, you know. So, but, yeah, it was definitely a pivotal conversation, I think, for them. And I think that combined with Ian's scenes on Friday with Madison, where he seemed to suddenly have a heart where she was concerned, kind of think makes me think that, you know, I'm not sure what's going to happen, but I'm thinking maybe things are going to be changing here soon. So we'll see. Did we leave out anybody? Jack and Jennifer, did they have much this week?
They weren't really on much, I don't think. Jack and Jen, no.
Yeah, I don't remember them being on.
I don't think they were on.
No. Cadell in the hospital. John and Hope, we don't care about right now.
Yeah.
Stefano's over there with John and Hope. Which is the only thing that makes that interesting.
Waiting for Shane to show up, yeah.
Yeah, waiting for Shane to show up.
He's next. I guess he's the next one to come back.
Let's see. And I don't really get what's happening with the whole ISA agents getting killed and all that, but I really don't care at this point because we don't even know these people.
There's something going on Wednesday, though, this week. Yeah, it's someone's birthday on Wednesday.
I don't know who that would be. No idea who that would be. Character-wise, let's see. Whose birthday would that be? So anyway,
shall we sing happy birthday to Anna?
No, I don't think you need to.
Oh! Someone has a birthday on Wednesday.
Everybody tweet at Causey Hooch on Wednesday and wish Anna a happy birthday.
Oh, gee. For the shameless pimp. Well, thank you.
We tweet to her anyway. Yes.
Another birthday.
And what about, and I want to take something out of you people. I am like just shy of 200 followers. It would be really nice, like, if you're going to go ahead and do that for my birthday, that would be like a really nice gift. And I'm not talking about the porn sites and the, you know, the sex bots, you know, just like the real people. It's like, it would be nice to me. We worked really hard to get Bob over the hurdle of 200. So, you know, I'm just saying, if you're going to pimp, you know, might as well go big, right?
Yeah. Yes. At KOZZIE Hooch. Right, H-O-O-C-H.
Yes,
get her over the hump.
There you go. Get hump day. It's a hump day, too. So
it's hump day, too. Get out there and hump.
Get me over the hump on hump day. I just want to get humped on hump day. I don't care. I'm not that picky. Well, thank you for the shout-out, girls.
Sure.
I don't know. Did we cover everything? Are we missing anything? Somebody in the chat room, let us know if we're forgetting somebody.
I think I'm trying to think all the characters.
Somebody tweeted in there, and I'm not sure. I didn't see the whole conversation, but I see the word in there. Jan has tweeted or has said in the chat room, trisexta. That's a good one. Like I said, trisexta. I'm not sure who she's referring to.
It must be Daniel. It has to be
Daniel.
Daniel,
yes.
Phil,
trisexta.
Chelsea,
yes,
the trisexta.
The three generations.
With Billy.
Yes.
The three, he'll have all three. Yeah.
Yeah,
Kate, Billy, and Chelsea.
Christian, Sean Christian will point out he did not have sex with Chelsea, even though he really thought about it. So...
And he wanted to. And it was Sean Chris's idea for him to be the dirty doctor. He calls it caring too much. I call it dirty, but that's okay. All I can say is, Bo, guard your lymph nodes. Be sure not to wear a hospital gown and just say no to the non-skid socks. Because believe me, when Dr. Dan's coming for you, the only thing that's going to give you a getaway is if you don't have to get slowed down by the non-skids. See, Daniel has a very purposeful way of doing this. I mean, he figures if you're in a teal hospital gown, you're not going to go flying down the hall away from him because you don't want people to see your naked backside. And further, you know, with the non-skids on, it's a lot harder to get away from him. So, you know, I'm just saying, for Bo, he needs to guard his back end and he needs to stay away from the non-skids. That would be my advice. And do not be alone for any length of time with Daniel because, you know, scary things. And we're not so sure he wasn't molested by Daniel back in 2008 when he had his, what kind of, he had some sort of something that Chelsea donated
that
to him. I forget what it was, but it was some sort of tissue or something. But, He, you know, we're not so sure that Bo hasn't been permanently traumatized by that from 2008. And, I mean, it's 4 years later, you know.
Oh, that's when Sean died
and there was a
transplant or something.
His fill-me-up anniversary, 4-year fill-me-up anniversary is coming soon. So we don't want Daniel to have a window of opportunity there. So Billy or somebody needs to stay by Bo's side. Not that I want those two together, but...
Mm-hmm.
Somebody needs to stay by his side. Because you notice, like, 3 or 4 years ago, I noticed these things. When Kate kept having to go back in the hospital, she eventually brought her own jammies. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking that's really, and Philip did too. When he got shot a couple times, oh, you know, the 14th or 15th time he got shot, he was wearing his own jammies too. It's like, you know, BYOJ, you know, I mean, when you've got Daniel as a doctor. So this is very important stuff. And stay away from the self-tanning products because, you know, you don't want to go there. You just don't. So it's like a moth to a flame. I mean, that's all I'm going to say. But, okay, so enough about the Daniel bashing. But anyway, let's see. So, yeah, so at least we can honestly say that if he is drawn to Billy and Billy reciprocates, they are equally yoked in the tanning department, so there again, we might have to endure some orange flashback scenes like we did with Chloe and Daniel, but you know, that was more the lighting. You know, they had that special porn glow, that orange porn glow thing going. So, but I don't know where they're going to go with that right now, so we'll see. I guess Daniel's kind of a free agent at the moment, so Bo, be aware, be very aware of that. So, let's see. Well, I think we've pretty much covered it all. You guys got anything else? We got. Well, you'll make the announcement on @DivaDuel soon as we know, and on the blog as soon as we know what date we have Brian scheduled for.
Yes.
And we're hoping for lots of lusting ladies and guys. You want
and
a
guys,
lusting
what the
guy
hell?
And you want to call in?
Guys.
Yeah, hey. You know, so that should be fun. All right. Well, until Tuesday or Wednesday, I guess. You know what? I guess I should check and see if anyone's waiting on the line. Okay, good. Nobody's here. I always get.
Have you checked
at
all?
I had a couple of times, but you know what? The chat room is always so entertaining that I tend to forget to go to the other screen. So I don't like to see if anyone's waiting. I knew Sarah was in a musical. You're in town tonight, so I knew she wasn't going to be calling in. But we got the magic pimp in there for her, and so I think we covered the bases there. So of course we appreciate everyone being so fun and entertaining in the chat room. And Marianne and Carrie, and we miss Nicole. I guess she's wasn't able to be here tonight, and Madeline still dealing with a loss in her family, and so we're thinking about her as always, and wish her well. And so I guess we'll see if we can get the music to work. At least it didn't go off by itself. The ghost of Stefano didn't come up and start playing. All right. Well, take care. Till next time, guys.
Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.